Well, welcome. This is the Insider's Guide to Peru, which is a new type of travel telesummit. And the reason we're having this call is we want to stimulate all your senses in your preparation for a trip to Peru. We brought together sages, shamans, teachers, anthropologists, all who come from a very different and diverse cosmology. There's similarities and differences. And they, one thing that everybody shares is that they have an intimate relationship to this magical countryside. And my name is Renee Barabo, and I'm known to my clients and community as the practical shaman. And my role is to awaken consciousness and weave together community. For the last 6 or 7 years, I've run an organization called Desert Holistic Network, which has gotten together a web of people from around the world to come together and share a similar light. And this past year, for my own self, I've been stepping out more in my own world as a coach. And I was kind of the reluctant shaman. And a couple of years ago, you know, they came dragging me out from the door. And so now I'm stepping out as well. And I'm also leading my own Magic Mountain and Mystery Tour trip to Peru in September. And people have asked me, well, why would you bring out all your competition? Everybody here has some kind of a trip or something to Peru. And to me, this is the magic of our times. I know that the trip that I'm leading for Phoenix Adventures is a first-timer's trip. And it's a lot of beginners and people who are just opening their eyes to awakening their consciousness. And the timing isn't perfect for everyone. There's trips all the way from May through, you know, 2 years from now. So on this call, you're going to hear from a lot of people who have spent a lot of time in Peru. They either live there, they've been studying there for like 20, 30 years. But it's up to you to feel who pulls you. You close your eyes when you listen to these presenters and see which one calls your name. And then it's up to you to open your heart and say yes. The thing is for me, the magic in my life has always come about that I show up and I say yes. I never know where it's going to take me, but when I hear the call, that's the gift. And sometimes we fall, sometimes we land on our feet, but whenever we say yes, we never know where our magic carpet's going to take us. So I'm really, really excited to be offering each of these people. And in the coming weeks, you're going to be hearing from, actually tomorrow, Jorge Luis Delgado, who's actually going to be calling us from Peru. Jamie Curtis, who spends half of her year in Peru. Linda Fitch, who's the dean of the Healing the Light Body School. Many of you know Stevie Bell from her teachings from around the world. Bonnie Glass Coffin is kind of representing the Oscar Moreau people, and she's an anthropologist in her own right and is going to have a lot to share about North Peru. And then we're going to have Rosario Sario with translated by Maria Teresa Valenzuela. And Rosario grew up in Lima, so she's going to be talking about the shamans and the culture of the city of Lima. Now, these calls are free, and they're free sort of. Right now you're paying for your free conference call, but I'm going to try by next Monday to have it set up so that people in foreign countries can listen through the Internet instead of having to use this dial-in numbers. That will be new for me, so it's going to take me a few days to get it set up. But there's two ways you can support these calls. The first is to invite your friends and IUs to register for the calls. And you know, I'd really prefer that they register for the call so that we have a way of contacting them with the number changes and things like that than you just, you know, passing out the numbers or the audios, in fairness to the presenters and to all the work that's gone into making this. And the other thing is along the way, a couple of these presenters have foundations. And today the foundation that I'm asking you might want to consider donating to is the We Are Kocha Foundation, which is something Elizabeth Jenkins is going to talk about. And my thinking is that if everybody on this call donated $10 to $20, we could send 8 to 10 children in Peru to private schools for a year. We have well over 200 people registered for this call now. So if you want to donate, you can go to the Inca inca-online.com. Or not slash, it's a...
Dash.
Inca-online.com after this call's over, and I'm sure we'll remind you again. And before I turn it over, if you want to know more about my trips, I'm taking an advanced medicine group to Mexico in May, and also the trip to Peru or any of the other coaching and business marketing classes that I teach, please visit thepracticalshaman.com or desertholisticnetwork.com to learn about my work. So without further ado, I'm going to introduce you to Elizabeth Jenkins, who is somebody that I've been in communication with for years, sharing our information about community. And her talk today is called Earth Keepers of Tomorrow. Elizabeth Jenkins is an MA, MFT, a licensed psychotherapy, and international author of two books on Inca tradition, The Return of the Inca, A Journey of Initiation, and Inca Prophecies for 2012, and Journey to the Caros. She teaches spiritual tools of the Inca needed for the transformation of personal, community, and global levels in preparation for 2012 and beyond, and leads initiation trips to Peru to experience the Hatun Karpai, and she also does workshops in Hawaii. She teaches worldwide. She's a singer-songwriter. She's now working on a project for education, an educational project. What is it called, Elizabeth, in Hawaii?
Well, it's through Connections Charter School. It's actually bringing indigenous wisdom and knowledge into the school with the kids.
Which is such an admirable thing to do because, you know, most of our children don't even know where their vegetables grow, never mind bringing back this wisdom into their teaching. So I so honor your work. And Elizabeth's going to start us out with a calling in the directions the way she does it or calling in sacred space. Elizabeth, I'm turning it over to you for the next piece here.
Renee, thank you so much. I so appreciate all that you have done to make this happen and to make me get myself here today so I can speak to all of you and reach out to our global community. Very happy to have you guys with us and online and all the people I'm meeting again and all the people for the first time. It's wonderful to say hello to you. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha with warm tropical Sami breezes from the Big Island. It's a gorgeous day here. I have the pleasure and honor to live in a really beautiful place that I'm just beginning to understand the deeper reasons why I'm here, but I'll say more about that later. To begin with, I want to invoke the Texe Apus. As you guys, a lot of you probably know, Apu in Quechua means Lord. Normally, we use it to refer to the Lord spirits of the mountains, but it actually has a larger meaning to mean lords or spiritual consciousness of many different beings of nature. So the Texe Apus are very, very important in this moment because Texe means global. So the global Apus or the global lords or the global forces are the ones that we all can experience the same all over our planet, all over Pachamama. And those are, of course, four in number, actually, and with the esoteric fifth being the great consciousness of the Hanak Pachamama. That is another conversation as well. So we're going to basically begin by invoking the living energy into our bodies as we do with the Texe Paco meditation, which is the fourth level meditation that I've taught for the last 25 years, to really bring people from the third to the fourth level consciousness, which is the initiatory process that we're going through globally right now. Of course, we all know the third level is the level based in fear. When people talk to you about negative entities and negative and positive energies, they are accessing the third level, which the Incas describe as spiritual adolescence. And the only way to go to adulthood is through adolescence. So we all have to do that. The fourth level is about resonating our bubble, our literal energy field of our body, with the entire resonant field of Mother Earth, of Pachamama. And we accomplish that by, through our connection, through our practice, to the Tekse Apus, the global Apus, which are, of course, the sun. Everyone on Earth has access to the sun in the same way. The winds, moon and stars, the earth, the land, Pachamama, the living being of the earth, and, of course, the great mother oceans. So I'm going to begin with an invocation. Also, because the Andean tradition is a female tradition, because it's about receptivity, receiving all living energies, receiving all our fellow Pacos, all the initiates, all our brothers and sisters as one, which is what the fourth level initiation is, to go to that place of recognizing everyone on earth as our brother or our sister, not in a platitude, a spiritual platitude, but as an actual fact, as a real life experience. You know, the levels that the Dalai Lama teaches us about when he says, always the Chinese are our brothers and sisters. That level of awareness where we are one being, one living being, Mother Earth, our planetary being, connected to her. So the fourth level meditation, we call the Tekse Paco meditation, the global nature being meditation, begins with an invocation of the Sami, the finest living energy of the cosmos, from Hanakpacha. Hampi, 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 come to us, living energy, finest living energy of Hanakpacha, upper world, finest living energy from Wiracocha, great being, great guiding creative force of the universe. Come to us, come inside our minds, live inside us, great Sami, Miskayani, great city, etheric city of finest, most evolved, feminine, spiritual beings. Great power of Miskayani, living in the Hanakpacha. Come to us, come into our minds. We offer our finest Sami to you. And in exchange, we receive your finest Sami for well-being. To receive Sami into our minds from Hanakpacha. Mama Waira Chaska Mama, Mama Kilia, great Mother Stars, Mother Moon, and Mother Wind, come into our throats. We offer our finest Sami, our deepest love, our purest energy to you. Mother Wind, Mother Moon, Mother Stars, we offer our finest living energy to you and open ourselves to receive the finest living energy of your Sami into our throats that we may speak the truth, that we may speak words of love and compassion and unification to bring us all together. Inti Taita, great Father, Son, magnificent being of pure masculine force, we open our hearts and offer our finest Sami to you, Inti Taita. Come into our hearts, Inti. Bring us your warmth, your power, your radiance and beauty. Fill our hearts with your light, that you may ignite the living sun within our chest to shine forth on all of humanity and all our family and all those with whom we work and interact in every day. Let us connect to the power and force of your sun and shine forth into our world from our own hearts. Pachamama, beautiful, radiant, glorious Mother Earth, creative, fecund source of vital fertile power. We open our bellies to you, Pachamama. We offer the finest living energy of our Kosko from our spiritual center. We offer to you and connect to you, bringing into our bellies the finest living energy from Mother Earth, the beautiful red Sami. From here, Kilauea, Pele, the healing force of the red lava. Come into our bellies, Pachamama. Connect us, ground us. Allow us to receive and process and give to you all of the huchas of the earth that we may clean and lighten and relieve our family and friends and communities of their heavy energies. Come, Pachamama. Let us feel the connection and grounding with you. Great Mother Ocean, Mama Cochas, we offer now from our tails our finest Sami, our greatest love to you for your beauty, Great Mother Oceans, all the life that you hold, teeming with force and creativity, food, shelter, peace, the depth and profundity of your ocean floors, the vastness of your water. May it vibrate with all of the living waters of our bodies that we can receive after offering to you, receive the finest living energy up from the Mother Ocean, the finest Sami of the waters. And offering to all of the Texe'apus, great lords of our planet, the great lords of our community, we put ourselves in harmony with you. Yes. Okay, thank you for joining me in that. Took a little longer than I expected, but we needed to do that.
That was beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you for opening up this Telesummit series with such a beautiful prayer.
Yes, and may all of that go forth with all of the teachers. And I love what you're doing, Renee, and I love what you said, because this idea that there's only so much cheese and all the rats need to scrap for it is really not true. You're doing exactly the most beautiful thing, which is to know that all of us offer something unique and that speaks to each different person. And when we work together to offer that, that is the wave of the future. That's what we need to be doing. You know, cooperation, not this crazy competition idea.
And the truth is the more that I live in that, and sometimes I do, you know, have my moments, but the more I live in that, I live in an abundant universe.
Exactly.
And I'm very well provided for, and my service is to help other people get their messages out in the world, and I'm lucky that I have these gifts that I can
Absolutely.
Help people learn how to share their message.
Beautiful, and thank you for those of us. I fall into the technologically disabled category where it's really tough for me, so I so appreciate people like you that know how to do these kind of things. It's really, really wonderful.
That's great. We're so,
so
honored to have you. So did you want to start about the fourth level of initiation, or do you want to get into the children?
Well, all of it together. You know, right now, all of the programs that Wiracocha Foundation is offering this year, which I want to touch on and let people know about, all of that is fundraising for the Quero Kids Project. We started this a long time ago, but it's really come to a beautiful flowering with bringing four special children here to Hawaii. I hosted them in my home and with their dad, Juan Apasa, and they had just a magical experience here. I really felt the call to do it because so many times you hear people talking about the Quero tradition and talking about the Inca tradition and kind of, you know, I'm sad to say, inventing certain things or promoting their own agenda, and, you know, which is okay, but should be stated in that way. So I wanted to have a venue for giving the kids their own voice And if they speak English as well as Quechua and maintain their own traditions as well as understanding ours, then they can really convey the beauty of their tradition directly themselves to us.
Mm.
And that was the vision that we went with in opening this program. And a lot of my Hawaiian friends here were like, oh, no, don't teach them English. Because they don't realize that there's over 10 million native Quechua speakers in Peru and Bolivia, which is in all of the Andean region. So it's not a language that's under threat of being lost, as the Hawaiian language was 50 years ago, which is actually making a wonderful comeback now. And so it's really fantastic that these kids, they also came here and met a lot of our Hawaiian elders and kids learning their Hawaiian traditions and shared with them. They taught Quechua songs in our school, which is a multicultural school. The kids absolutely went crazy and loved them. They were guests of honor. They were the center of every classroom that they attended. We had them in 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th grades. And it was a fantastic experience. They learned how to scuba dive. I hope some of you got to see on our website, the little clip of the kids learning to scuba dive. It was fantastic.
I can share that with them in the next mailing. If you haven't seen that YouTube video, it's great.
Yeah, and these are the kids there. It's the granddaughter. Karina is the granddaughter of Don Humberto Sonco and Doña Bernardina. And then Aurelia is the daughter of Francisco Apasa, who is the son of Don Mariano, a fantastic, amazing Quero priest. And Rina Marta is the daughter of Juan Apasa, brother of Francisco, and also son of Don Mariano. And Ruben was our male student, is the son of Juan Apasa, also son of Don Mariano. So we had the fantastic lineage of the Quero kids, and these are really, you know, our new kids, and they lived with my two sons, Gabriel and Sam, and who generously shared their house and their room with Ruben. And it was an amazing, as we lived together, we played soccer, we had Peru versus Hawaii in our yard. It was wonderful experience. You know, it had its normal family challenges as well, which was great. But in the end, we all ended up crying and hugging each other and just had an amazing experience. And I'm looking forward to seeing the kids again when I go back to Peru this August for the World Paco Conference is this year in Cusco, guys, just so you know that.
What is the World Paco Conference?
It's the conference that we've had since 2003. It's the worldwide gathering of all the practitioners of the Andean tradition. It began as a big party for all of those who organize seminars all over the world in the Inca tradition, in the Andean tradition, and anybody that practices is welcome to come and join us. And it's really a fantastic conference. The first one we held in Venice, Italy. And having the Quero in gondolas was just like a magnificent experience. It's so awesome. And so that's been pretty much every year. We held it in Hawaii in 2010. We hosted it here at our farm. And so this year, as it would be appropriate for 2012, last year was in Iceland as a bridge between Europe and the Americas. And this year is going to be, I believe it's the 10th World Conference, or the 9th maybe. Don't quote me on that. It's going to be held in Cusco, Peru, and that's going to be September 6th through 12th.
Well, it's right before I get there. Elizabeth, I have a question. Several years ago when I was in Peru, I was kind of noticing that, you know, so many people had moved into the cities and, you know, there was an internet cafe on every corner and there was as many cell phones as here. So what is going on with the children? How are their How are they changing? How are they keeping up with the times? Are they losing their culture, or is there a resurgence back to their culture?
Well, if you're talking about all Peruvian kids or the Quero kids in particular.
Well, let's talk about the Quero kids because they've even moved down. A lot of
yes.
those people have moved down to the cities.
Yes. This is a fact. And, you know, so many people have come to me and said, you know, you guys should just go up to Queros and try to do your program up there. And, you know, people don't really realize that the Quero, just like us, they want to globalize also. They are, there is a movement. A lot of people are leaving Quero, and this is true. We are hoping that they are not leaving. They also go back, and they remain very tied to the place and their farms. Juana Pasa, I just spoke to them, actually, this last month, and they were up in Quero planting, well, not planting, but up in looking after their llamas. They plant in August. But they were looking after crops and llamas. And even though they're in Cusco and they live there to go to school and to have access to be able to teach their traditions to more people that are coming, they also really remain connected to Quero. I don't think they will ever give that up. They will. It's just too strong in them and too much a part of who they are. And with these programs where we really honor them here, I really don't think there's a danger of it being lost because they're sharing it. And in the same way that, you know, the Dalai Lama left Tibet and it sort of opened the Tibetan tradition for the world, I think the Quero in that, and certainly the Dalai Lama is not losing his tradition. When you teach it, you even kind of, I think you enter it more completely. And I think that's what's happening with the Quero. The kids are wanting to globalize. The parents are globalizing. A lot of influencers are coming into Quero. Like, I don't know if you know about the Maranatas that are telling them that their traditions are of the devil and all of that crazy stuff. And so we want to always be there supporting them and saying what you have is precious. In fact, come and teach us about it. In fact, come and share it in our culture to go back to your culture and always keep it. And that's been our goal for the last 25 years, and we're still doing it now. So
You may want to tell people what it takes to get to Quero's, because there's a lot of people who have never been to Peru on this call. So when we talk about Quero's, we understand, but they don't.
Yeah. It used to be, back in the days, my first time I went to Quero's, it was one really hard, long day in a bus to Paucartambo, then about a 5 or 6 hour hike, and then about a 2 day trek on horseback. And there's no roads, there's no nothing, there's no buildings, there's no roads, there's no hospitals, there's no stores, there's no electricity, and there was no water. Until we worked with Donna Rennells at the Living Bridges Foundation and helped to put in a clean water system into the Quero communities. They didn't even have running water. Now they do. We helped to build some roads last couple of years. And we helped, actually, Wiracocha Foundation funded the school up in Charcapata. So, and then now there's two schools that continue to function up there. And so, yeah, getting up there, it's easier now. You can actually get there in only a 6 hour bus ride and 1 day. When I took Survivor Man up there and we filmed for the Discovery Channel in 2010, it was only a day, but we had 20,000-foot passes we had to go over.
So, see, that's what people might not even understand what we're talking about, that these people held this information, and yet they were, you know, 3 days away, and yet they held these traditions so sacred for themselves.
Yeah.
How is this related to the fourth level of initiation that's happening right now with the children?
Well, you know, actually globalization is part of the fourth level initiation. So I really believe that the Quero coming in contact with a global community is all part of that. The fourth level has to do with literally resonating our pokpo, you know, which is our bubble or our energy field or our aura or whatever you want to call it. Just to back up a little bit, of course, the first level is resonating with your IU, literally your identity. Yeah, relates and resonates with your family, your mom and dad. You understand who you are in terms of your family of origin, like we all do in the beginning. And our town and the geography of the place we're born. As we grow, we begin to understand that not only are we from our little town or area, but we're part of a bigger community, human and nature, which involves a city, perhaps. You know, if you're from a little podunk town, if you're from this tiny town of Na'alehu in Hawaii, and people ask you where you're from, no one ever heard of that. So you might say Hilo or Kona because it's a bigger community that people have heard of, even though that's not really where you're from, but you're part of that community too. So that's the second level of your identity. As your bubble begins to resonate with that larger energy field and that larger human community and that larger geographic area, as you progress in your development and you understand that you're part of a language group or a country, that is the third level initiation, the third level resonant field. And of course, the third level is sort of like the national level, which we have our national identity well-developed. All these levels are universal. You don't have to be in the Andean tradition to experience them. They're universal across all traditions. But the fourth level is where we make that leap into going from an identity related to our language group, our human language group, our culture of our country, and really enter a resonant field of the entire globe, of the entire being of Pachamama, of the living earth. And we then recognize that we all have the same mom and dad. Inti Taita, father, son, is all of our dads, and Pachamama, Mother Earth, is all of our moms. We kind of leave behind our personal history, our personal family. Not that we leave them behind, and we stay connected to them, but we grow beyond the boundaries of that to encompass a larger awareness of our global identity as planetary beings, as part of a bigger living system. Yeah, and every evolution in every kind of living system, this is in evolutionary biology as well, takes its next step when it recognizes and starts to act as part of a larger living system. And that's what the fourth level initiation is all about. The third level we understand a lot because it's about conflict and it's based in fear. And this is where you get a lot of those New Age philosophies of the negative entities and things like that. And then you need some dependence on someone else to help you overcome that. And this is what they call the spiritual adolescence of the philosophy. It's okay, it's not a bad thing, but it's just we need to keep going. Yeah, we can't get stuck there. We all need to grow up. When we look at our political situation, when we look at what's happening between our countries, we can see that most of our global consciousness is still at the third level, yeah? Think of politics. Think of the kind of mudslinging stuff. At the fourth level, you begin to own your shadow. You don't project it onto others. At the fourth level, you leave the state of victim behind. You can no longer be a victim of negative entities because you have your personal authority. If your heart is connected directly to the power of the sun, what entity can overcome you? You know, it's not even possible. So that's the level of understanding and energetic vibration that we're talking about with the fourth level. Now, clearly, initiation means beginning, and starting to take the step of initiation into the fourth level means we're going to begin that path. It doesn't mean all of a sudden we're all Mother Teresa and the Dalai Lama and we're taking everybody off the street into our house. Okay, but that would be the complete development of the fourth level, because at the when you are a completely developed fourth level, you treat everyone as your brother or sister without question. So I love that we have those examples of real, completely developed fourth level beings. You know, and we all know that it's, I can certainly say for myself, even being on the path of the fourth level for these last many years, you know, I have my third level days.
Don't we all?
But at least the Andean tradition, the Inca system, gives us a map, teaches us where it is we need to go to, gives us the guidance of what we're, our goal is and how to move forward, and that's the beauty of it.
So was that a developed system in terms of, like, when you go to Peru and you go to the schools and the children are learning this, are they learning the system like we learn through our, since it's President's Day, our presidents, or is it something that's so innate in the culture of how they live? What's that distinction?
You mean, are they learning what I just spoke about?
Right. Are they learning about the cosmology, or are they,
is
it just the way that they live?
No. Of course, the Quero kids are learning that.
Yes.
But the kids in the everyday Peruvian school, they're all trying to follow the U.S. They're all trying to follow our mistake, you know.
Right.
And that's the sad part about it. But I just attended the World Indigenous Peoples Conference on Education, which was held in Cusco last August 2011, and there was wonderful efforts being made in Peru to educate the kids with their own cosmological system. There were many presentations. There was over 3,000 people at the conference. It was a fantastic, it's a fantastic conference, and it's all about indigenous, and the Maoris were there from New Zealand. It's you know, indigenous people from all over the world, Native American, from Alaska to southern, south, you know, the south, most southern parts of South America, and Maori Aboriginal people from Austria, from the Aboriginal people from Norway, the Sami people, and Sweden were there.
Oh, great.
So it was an amazing conference. And the you know, I don't, you probably know about this from having traveled to Peru, about the very bizarre schizophrenia that goes on there between the upper class trying to be North American and the indigenous people. You know, and so there's kind of a renaissance just in the last 10 years. When I first started going to Peru, the upper class would not even admit they spoke Quechua. They would never talk to a Quero Indian except running out the back door in the dark of night to go ask for a coca leaf reading. You know? So this horrible schizophrenia that happens in Peru between the native people and especially the Quero being treated like the lowest class, and at the same time being sort of feared in a certain way and recognized for their abilities, and you know, sort of being treated in this very strange way. So I think that is beginning to change because there is such a renaissance in Peru now in the last 10 years. It's cool to speak Quechua now. You see these upper-class people, you know, looking very proud. Whereas 24 years ago, when I first went to Peru, that they would consider it an insult if you asked them if they spoke Quechua. So it's really changing in the last 10 years.
And that is really great, because one of the reasons I found myself in Peru many years ago was that that some of the more native traditions, and you have a special announcement about a native tradition, But some of the native traditions here wanted to keep it secret, wanted their ways, their ceremonies to be limited. And when I went to Peru, it was like, no, we want you to take this information and be more sharing it with the world type of an attitude.
Yeah.
But what I noticed then is that it wasn't happening with their own people. There was a time there a few years back that I thought, like, wow, we're going to have to go back there and teach them their own ways if this keeps up.
Oh, absolutely. And that's been one of the things that we're at Kocha Foundation has been really focused on, too. So we always offer all of our seminars at a very discounted, either free or often discounted to native Peruvians.
Which is great.
Yeah, to be able to revitalize their own culture. You know, depending on what they have access to, if they're from Peru, we offer them, you know, generally free. If they're, you know, Westerners living in Peru, then we still charge.
You
know, discounted. But if they have access to the possibility, you know, then they're participating in the foundation, which they want to do anyway. So,
I have a question. People seem to tend to want to go to Peru. And why? Is there something in the land? Is it something? I mean, the people are just so delightful and so warm-hearted. But what happens to, there's a lot of people on this call who have never been to Peru, but I always notice that people have some form of a transformation when they take one of these trips, whether it's mine, yours, or, you know, a hike along the Inca Trail. What do you think that is?
Why Peru? What is going on? It's literally an energy field. Peru is Cusco. Cusco is the ancient word Cusco, which means the navel of the earth, which we all know, right? But it's literally the energy center. You know, in the Inca tradition, we have the energy centers in the body. You have the tail, which is connected to the water. You have the belly center, which is directly connected to Mother Earth. You have the heart center, which is connected to the sun, the throat, which is connected to the wind, moon, and stars, and then the what we call the seventh eye, yeah? The Hindus call the third eye, is connected to the Hanakpacha, to the upper world. Well, the belly center of the earth has exactly the same energetic centers. And the belly center is in Peru. It's in Cusco. And because so many people come there to connect to the earth, to the love, to the power that flows out of Pachamama. And also because it's a feminine center. If you think about the belly center in our bodies, it is just like our stomachs, right? The spiritual stomach is called the Cusco. The physical stomach receives food and digests it for our bodies to live. Our energetic spiritual stomach receives living energies to digest, to live. And this is the hardest thing for North Americans because we're so disconnected. Our belly needs to be connected to the earth, like an energetic umbilical cord connected to Mother Earth. And that is a receptive organ, which is why the entire tradition is considered female, because it's about this great, fantastic feminine power of receptivity. And when you're able to receive everything, right, every kind of living energy, when you're able to eat and digest every kind of living energy without fear, without setting up that good and evil paradigm that we're so famous for in the West, right, the good, bad, positive, negative polarity, you don't have that in the Inca system. You just have all different kinds of living energy, and our job is to learn to incorporate through the belly center all of the living energies, and we don't have to reject anything. When we can incorporate and digest that power, that all different kinds, heavy and finer energies, then we don't have to be afraid of anything. We're at the top of the food chain, right? We don't have to be in fear. And that is why Cusco is such a potent center. People unconsciously want to go there because they know they need that. They need to connect to Mother Earth. And also it's a center of higher consciousness. that people, you know, that you open through the belly and then you can advance. And everything, your karma, everything gets speeded up when you're there. So it's a natural center, like others on the earth, which just speed up the evolutionary process. So I think that's part of why people have so many transformative experiences, are so guided to going there. You know, a lot of, and I think also with Miss Gayani, you know, are you familiar with the Miss Gayani, Renee?
What is that?
Miss Gayani is the female center of super evolved beings that is in located in the Peruvian Andes.
It's an energy?
Pardon?
It's an energy.
It's a what they call an etheric city.
Oh, okay. Tell us about that.
Well, this is the juicy stuff, right?
Do we get to hear a little bit of juicy stuff? Because these have got people who want to go to Peru here, so can they get
yes.
to see this energetic city?
Well, I don't know if they're able to see it, but certainly
or feel it.
We all are attracted there, I think, because of it. You know, Shambhala is the Tibetan version of the city, but it's in the masculine polarity.
Okay.
And there's a lot of information that talks about how when the energetic center moved from Tibet to Peru in the early 20s or 30s, a lot of people wrote about that. And the shift from Shambhala to Miss Gayani, from the masculine polarity to the feminine in Peru. Does that ring any bells for you?
Yes.
Okay. So what a lot of the Kero don't want to talk about Miss Gayani, it's one of the only things that I've found that has been a little bit more hidden, because it is really from some of the deeper esoteric teachings of the Incas. But this is the time now when it has to come out. And I know this is part of my job, to bring out the information about Miss Gayani.
Have you written about that in any of your books?
I have, but surprisingly, almost no one picks up on it. Because
okay.
I think
which book and where are we picking up on this? This is, I think, interesting.
I wrote about it in Journey to Keros.
Okay.
It's mentioned. It's not described in any great detail. It's touched
okay.
on and opened and talked about. I've been talking about it, actually, for the last 15 years. But
and where are your books available, Elizabeth?
Definitely on Amazon. Or
okay.
through my website, you can get my books signed by me, you know, personally signed book. And for pretty much the same price that you can get it on Amazon. But all the books are available, and they're available in different languages as well. I really want to, I notice our time is running so fast, Renee. I want to talk about what's coming up.
The serendipity call you got right before we got on this call, or?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Yes. I wrote it down so we didn't forget.
Okay, good.
Go ahead.
Another part of a fantastic prophecy that's culminating this year in May, there's a prophecy in the Hopi tradition about the Sun Clan, the Keepers of the Sun Clan, meeting with their southern brothers. And I happened, by also serendipity, to meet this wonderful woman named Marcia Millar, who is an Avapai Native American from Arizona area. And she asked me to bring the Kero to this long-awaited meeting with the Sun Clan elders in the house of the Sun Clan that has stood empty for the last, I think she said, 100 years. And we're doing that. And I just found out that event, which is kind of unheard of in Hopi, or very unusual, is going to be open to the public. So this is a meeting of the Sun Clan leaders with Don Humberto and Doña Bernardina, the Sun Clan of the Southern Neighbors, and that's going to happen in Hopi land this June 1st and 2nd.
June 1st.
So that's a very exciting thing. I also want to tell everyone my 6-day Inca Intensive Seminar is coming up March 14th through 19th here on the Big Island at our farm. That is the full, it's the Inca Intensive full initiation into the fourth level and working with the Texe Apus that I described at the beginning of this call, learning the Texaipaco meditation, which is to accustom your bubble literally to resonate with all of those larger energy fields and to help us really move into the fourth level more and more. That's coming up in April. We have some bearers of the crystal skulls coming here to the Big Island and that will be visiting us here at our farm. And quite possibly the fantastic new book by Sergio Magaña, which is called The Dawn of the Sixth Sun, The Path of Quetzalcoatl. He just invited me to write the foreword for that book, which is an amazing book from the Toltec Mexica tradition, Mexico City. And I mentioned that Cusco is really the belly center. Well, Mexico City is the incredible and booming heart center of the planetary system that is opening like crazy right now. In the Hopi land, you have the throat center. So we're going kind of up the body of Mother Earth, even just this year, to work at these sacred centers where the information has to come out and the energy needs to be stimulated by more of us working together at these sacred centers. And I know you have a trip to Mexico, too.
I know, and after you told me about this man, I'm hoping that you're going to introduce me so that
we
can add him in as part of
our
medicine trip.
I think
it's
Sergio is phenomenal.
We're going to try to connect with Sergio in Mexico City. We're going from the 17th to the 22nd of May to work with Maria Teresa and Rosario Osorio, who's from Lima.
Absolutely. Well, you definitely want to hook up with Sergio.
We got to get that working on, too. So if there's any advanced seekers here, it's more of an advanced trip because we're going to do actually work with some medicines and, you know, some curanderismo. I know that the word trips over my tongue. And the mezcal, the temezcala, the sweat lodge.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So we're really looking forward to that.
Excellent. Well, we may have a surprise and get Sergio here on the Big Island.
Great.
April 21 and 22, and his work is profound. It's cleansing the shadow with the powerful breaths of the Toltec tradition and his knowledge in the Mayan and Aztec calendar system and working with the dreaming is fantastic. He's like, take Carlos Castaneda and make him a really nice, friendly, warm, accessible guy, and you get Sergio. But Sergio is a phenomenal healer. He's as close to the fifth level. You know, in the Inca tradition, we talked about up to the fourth level, but the fifth level, of course, is denoted by those healers who can heal every illness every time one touch. Right? We don't have anybody like that yet, but that is what's coming, hopefully. That's what we're all working towards in the Inca tradition. And Sergio is as close to a fifth level as we have found on the planet so far. He said he's got 60-70% healing rate from the most, you know, amazing forms of healing I've ever witnessed. And, you know, I don't take any of that stuff lightly. And everybody tells me about that. And I go, yeah, right, let's see. And Sergio does it. He's phenomenal. So he's going to be here. Then in May, we're going to be in, so hopefully Sergio will be here in April. In May, we start in San Francisco. We're going to be in the Bay Area. Then we're moving on to Sedona. We have a one day with Don Humberto and Doña Bernardina. And they are really, they're a sacred healing couple. You know, they've been working together for 50 years. And they were initiated by Don Andreas Espinosa, who was the absolute master of Quero, the highest living master. Don Andreas was phenomenal Quero master. And they were initiated by him 50 years ago as a sacred healing couple. So they're working with us all summer. We're going to be in San Francisco Bay Area. We're going to be doing healings in Santa Cruz.
And people can find all of this information on your website.
On our website. Then we'll also be In Europe for all the month of June. We'll be in Germany with Don Umberto and Doña Bernardina. We'll be in Italy, and then we'll be in Athens, Greece, where we have a huge group of Pacos, which is fun because I'm Greek. So I love that. And then we're going to do a meeting of the Tibetan and Inca mountain traditions in New York in July 2, 3, and 4. And
well, sounds like you've got a busy year ahead.
Phenomenal piece of work. And then we have, of course, the Hatun Karpai in August and the World Conference in September. So, we do have a very busy schedule. And, of course, I want to invite you guys to come and remember that I usually donate 20 to 30%, but probably this year I'm going to donate 50% of my personal income as a teacher to the Quero Kids Project. And like Renee said, right now we have, you know, with only $5,000, we can send 10 kids to private school, which is a really good school that I've personally visited and spoken to the director. It's an excellent school where they teach Quechua. They're respectful to the Quero kids. They can go there for a year. They teach them Quechua and English. And they, you know, it's a really nice school. It's in Cusco. It's accessible for these kids.
So I'm suggesting that people donate, that they enjoyed this call and want to support this series, to the www.inca.
It's actually WiraCochaFoundation.org.
Oh, okay, because I go through the Inca
or
online.
Or Inca-online. Either one works.
Okay.
But if it's hard, it's Inca with a K, of course, -online.com. Or
so, Elizabeth,
Foundation.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can we open this up to see if people have a few questions for you?
Absolutely.
We're kind of running out of time, but if you have a question, if you'd like to unmute yourself and press *6 to ask a question one at a time, please. Please press *6, and we're open for some questions.
Okay.
This is Marie from Sarasota.
Speak about them.
Oh, wait a second. We got someone from Sarasota. Can the other one hold a minute?
Yes.
Okay.
From Sarasota. Is
you're breaking up in and out. What was your question?
Question is how much of the money goes towards the children themselves?
Okay. Everything will go towards. Well, if you're donating, you can donate specifically to sponsor a kid for the school, and then all the money, well, it goes to the school, but it pays for that child to attend school.
Okay.
Yeah.
Great.
Directly.
Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That was a good question. Not a lot of administration fees here.
We have no I have no administration fees. I don't pay my. I know a lot of people run nonprofit. So they can pay themselves a salary. I don't.